Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, across all of our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM channel 206, and also the radio.com application. Could always give us a call at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You give us a follow and interact with us on Twitter at Zach Gelb and at CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat some hoops right now with a former NBA general manager of the Atlanta Hawks and Wes Wilcox. And you can hear Wes throughout the year on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Wes, thanks for coming on. How are you?
No problem, Zach. I'm good. How you doing?
Well, doing fantastic. Can't complain. I did see that Joel Embiid did leave the game up against the Cleveland Cavaliers and has a shoulder sprain per Adrian Wojnarowski. You already have Ben Simmons out for the Sixers. Now we don't know what's going to happen moving forward with Joel Embiid. This Sixers story this year, they were expected to be a team with the Bucks. One of them would represent the East in the finals, and things just aren't going right with the Sixers. What's the biggest problem for Philadelphia when you take the injuries out of it right now, Wes?
Well, I mean, I'd say there's two big things going on right now with the Sixers. Notwithstanding the injuries, as you said, number one, you know, they're the best home team in the NBA. They are a lottery team on the road this year, currently 9-20, and it looks like they may lose tonight, which will move them to 9-21 on the road. I mean, that record on the road puts you, you know, square within the NBA draft lottery if you had an equivalent or somewhat equivalent record at home. And then, of course, you know, they've been a good defensive team for the majority of the season. They're a great defensive team at home. But offensively, you know, they've struggled. And, you know, I think those are the two big concerns right now. Prior to these injuries, well, because these injuries certainly, make it just much more complicated for the Sixer team.
When I look at Philadelphia, and a big concern I had with them going into the year is that they lost their closer in Jimmy Butler now at the Heat. They also lost a good shooter in J.J. Redick, who's been in the league for a long time. And they were asking a lot out of Ben Simmons entering this year, and we haven't seen anything in terms of the development of the shot of Ben Simmons. There's one thing to do it pregame. There's one thing to throw it up on social media. Why haven't we seen him take that next step in shooting the basketball?
You know, it's so interesting, Zach, because I think we talk too much about, you know, what Ben Simmons is not good at and not enough about what he is good at. I mean, he's a terrific player. At least I'm in the camp that I think Ben Simmons does a lot really, really well. He defends every night. He's, if not the league leader, at the top of the league in steals. He's a great competitor, plays incredibly hard. He's great in transition. I'm less concerned about the shooting. And in some ways it speaks to the intelligence of Ben Simmons. Because he's not, you know, if he was taking a bunch of threes and missing them, we'd be talking about his, you know, why does he keep shooting these shots like we were Russell Westbrook at the beginning part of the year when Russell Westbrook is shooting under 25% from three. Russ stopped shooting the three the second half of the year, and Russ has gone on to, you know, essentially be the best player for the Houston Rockets over the last month and a half. And so I think it's a little bit of that with Ben Simmons. He really understands his game, understands at this point he's not a consistent shooter, so he's not going to shoot that shot. I do think that's magnified, though, when you talk about, you know, especially early on, trying to fit Ben Simmons as a non-shooter with both Embiid and Al Horford, and that's why you saw, you know, Coach Brown move Al Horford to the bench to try to get more skill, more shooting on the court, because that's been the issue, is, you know, how do you fit these guys together with a non-shooting point guard and a Joel Embiid who plays both on the perimeter and on the interior, which makes the court smaller.
You know, though, in the postseason, though, teams change the way that they play defense, and there's more of an aggressive instinct on defense. And I agree with you. I think Ben is a very good player, but in the postseason, teams just don't respect him from three, and they lay off of him a little bit and push back into the paint. And we saw that last year, and I think that holds it back. But you bring up a great point, Wes. And the way the team was constructed, they're basically asking him to shoot, you know, begging him when you look at this roster. But we know right now he's not capable of doing that. So, you know, Philly, they just have a lot of bizarre fits right now when you look at that team.
No, they do. I mean, and Zach, your point about the playoffs, that is 100% accurate. I mean, I remember when LeBron was young, we were in Cleveland with him from 2003 on until he left in 2010. And, you know, he early on in his career, he wasn't a consistent or confident enough shooter, and teams played him with space, and they made it very difficult on him, just like we've seen teams do with Giannis in the past. And even last year with Toronto, they did it with Giannis. And so this happens with a lot of players, and my sense is, you know, Ben Simmons will continue to improve. He's clearly worked at his game. He's improved in every other area. And in some ways, I like the fact that he's, you know, so disciplined to not take these bad shots, even though it seems like he's being implored to take them. But we forget how young he is. You know, he's very, very young and has plenty of time in this league, and we will see his game improve and develop. But I don't think Philly is a championship contender anyways this year because of the roster construction, the lack of shooting. It's probably too early for Philly, even if they were healthy. At least that's the camp I was in.
Talking to Wes Wilcox right now on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Is Giannis the MVP of the league, or do you think LeBron's going to have a thing or two to say about it before it's all said and done?
I think LeBron will have something to say about it. You can't take anything away from the incredible year that Giannis is having. I mean, he was the MVP last year, and he's having a better year this year. The team won 60 games. They're on pace to win 70 or 70-plus this year. So, I mean, Giannis has been the best player, certainly in the Eastern Conference, and he's been the best player on the best team in the Eastern Conference. And he's been the best player on the best team in the NBA to this point. So, but LeBron is too good and done too much. And, you know, similar to Giannis, maybe even more so, LeBron means so much to the Lakers. You know, you see it in the numbers of course with LeBron. And, you know, in many ways, the Lakers are, even though they have Anthony Davis, who's, you know, also a top five player, in many ways the Lakers are probably more dependent upon LeBron, or as dependent upon LeBron as the Bucks are of Giannis.
If you had to vote tomorrow, are you voting LeBron?
You know, it's hard. I'm biased because, you know, my wife and I both worked for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah. I started in 03, she started in 04, and we ended up going to the finals in 07. We got married in 08, and I just feel like such a, you know, a deep appreciation for LeBron and what he's done for our family. You know, not directly, but indirectly. And so I'm glad I don't have a vote, Zach, because I would probably be biased in my vote and vote for LeBron. Interesting story. So we have three little kids now. They're our oldest is 10 today, and our twins are 7.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. When we go shopping, right, at Foot Locker, I can't believe how much shoes cost these days for 7 and 10-year-olds. And so I always say to our kids, I'm like, at least we can buy LeBron's, because I feel like in some way I'm giving it back.
Wes Wilcox.
So I am totally biased on the LeBron front, not to take anything away from the incredible year, of course, that Giannis is having.
We were talking about this before you did come on in the last hour. You know, this is really the first time, going back to last year, that LeBron had to overcome adversity in his career. Like, when you guys got to the finals in Cleveland, it was unbelievable, and not to put any of those players down, but that was just not a roster that could win a championship when, like, Daniel Booby Gibson is one of your second or third best players. You saw him, you know, have a bad finals up against the Mavericks, but, you know, eventually did go on to win championships in Miami, and it was his first year being there. He won a championship in Cleveland. Last year, though, was really the first time that LeBron was doubted in a big way, and people didn't like the move to L.A., me being one of them. I didn't think it was the best for basketball reasons. And then he suffered that first big injury of his career. Where LeBron is right now, how much did last year, in your opinion, knowing him, really did motivate him to see this success that we're seeing this year in the NBA out of LeBron?
Certainly, it's going to motivate him. But LeBron is motivated, at least our experience around him, he is motivated by just being the absolute consummate professional and being as good as he possibly can be. And, of course, with that comes winning championships. And for the first time probably last year, he looked at the roster and realized, you know what, we probably just don't have the, you know, that what normally would result in an opportunity to get to the NBA Finals, especially with the quality of teams in the West, you know, namely Golden State, who was intact at that point. And, look, I'm also one of these guys that think that we way overplayed the struggles of the Lakers last year, because we forget on Christmas Day that team was fourth in the West, and everybody was talking about how great a job the Lakers have done. And then LeBron gets hurt with the groin, misses 17 games, and then, of course, the Lakers pursue Anthony Davis, which they absolutely should have done, and they should have made everyone on the team available with the exception of LeBron James, which is, I'm sure, what they did, and that has ramifications across the roster, but that's what you have to do. I mean, if you're trying to build a championship team in the NBA, it takes a great deal of risk, and you have to expose yourself if you're going to try to get stuff done. I thought the Lakers did or took the measures that any of us would take in that situation. It didn't work out. It obviously had ramifications on the season. But as you pointed out, that season wasn't going to result in a championship. And so I think it probably motivated him some. But I do think that LeBron has a really good sense of where he fits amongst the league's best and the league's great. And he also greats, and he also understands, you know, what it means to be a Laker and what it means to win in L.A. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how this offseason plays out, because they have a real chance, as we know, of course, you know, to win a title this year.
Wes Wilcox here with us from NBA, SiriusXM NBA Radio, former Atlanta Hawks general manager. Do you believe it will be Bucks and Lakers in the finals?
No, I don't. I have no idea who's going to be in the finals this year.
Let me ask you this then, Wes. Yeah, give me a team in the East that you think can challenge the Bucks, and then I'll ask you with the Lakers, what decides Lakers and Clippers? But start with the East. Who's the team in the East that is the biggest challenger to the Bucks?
Man, I think Boston. I think Toronto. I think Miami. I know they're struggling a little bit right now after the trade that they just made. You know, they're working some new guys in. All three of those teams are really, really good. Now, if I had to pick a favorite, I would pick Milwaukee, of course. But would I be surprised if Toronto, Boston, or Miami found a way to beat the Milwaukee Bucks? I would not. Just because those teams are that good, that well coached, and are gonna put up an incredible fight in a 7-game series. And so I think the East is going to be a super compelling playoff race. And if Joel Embiid is gone for any extended period of time, same with Ben Simmons, then unfortunately we would probably just eliminate Philly from the conversation, where early on, of course, we thought they would also be in that conversation of contenders.
It's really crazy, and I have great appreciation for what the Celtics and Heat are doing. What the Raptors are doing right now, I would have never seen this one coming this year. Yeah. I thought they would be a 7th or an 8th seed after losing Kawhi at best. Now, Nick Nurse, I don't think we understood how great of a coach he was last year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm fortunate and unfortunately have had to compete against Nick for a long time, even when Nick was in the old D League. Now, of course, the NBA G League. Nick was a fantastic coach for the Iowa Energy and the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. Part of my job in both Cleveland and Atlanta was, you know, I would run our D League operation, our minor league operation, and Nick's teams in the minor league played just like his team right now in Toronto. They defended with incredible toughness and competitiveness. They played incredibly fast. I think Toronto's first in fast break points. They shot a ton of threes. We know Toronto is top three in 3-point shooting. They are just a terrific, terrific team, coached at an incredibly high level. And you got to give a nod to Masai as well, because you're right, Zach. We were talking about not only maybe a 7 or 8 seed, but also a seller at the trade deadline. Are they going to keep Lowry? You know, they signed the 1-year extension, and we think that's so they can trade Lowry. You know, are they going to trade Gasol? Are they going to trade Ibaka? But at that point, none of us knew that, you know, Pascal Siakam was going to go from most improved player in the NBA from a 6-point to 16-point jump to most improved player in the NBA, but this time going from 16 points to 27 points a game. So just a fantastic job overall by the Toronto Raptors franchise, top to bottom.
Wes Wilcox here with us. When we look at that chase for the 8th seed, I believe it's going to be Memphis, but still some basketball to be played. Memphis, Trailblazers, Pelicans, and, you know, even throw the Spurs in there, even though I don't think the Spurs will get in. But what do you look for in that chase for the 8th seed, mainly between Memphis, Portland, and then the Zion show with the Pelicans?
Zach, this is so compelling because, I mean, Memphis is getting drilled right now by Houston. I think they're down 30 or near 30. Memphis has been a great story this year, but the left knee injury to Jaren Jackson Jr., who's reportedly out for a couple weeks before being reevaluated, they just lost another key injury in Brandon Clark, who was a great draft pick for them this past year. He's had a fantastic year. He left in their last game just under 4 minutes in with a quad injury. He's out for a couple weeks. And Dylan Brooks, when they went on a great run, Dylan Brooks had a phenomenal January, averaging 20 points a game, shooting 46% from three. In February, you know, I was looking at this morning for SiriusXM work. Dylan Brooks is averaging 9 points a game and shooting like 18% from three. And so, you know, that combination, as well as Memphis having one of the most difficult schedules the rest of the way, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, Zach. Now, who does step up and make it? I don't know.
I would lean Portland then. That'd be my instinct, would be Portland because of Lillard.
Yeah, but Lillard has the groin, and how long is he going to be out, right?
Fair.
I never count out San Antonio. New Orleans, of course, you have to say New Orleans because they have the second or one of the easiest schedules the rest of the way. They got Zion back. Zion's playing like an all-star. But last night's win, you know, when you're four games back in the loss column, you know, and you only have 25 to play, every game matters. There's still plenty of time for New Orleans. I think it's going to be really compelling because Memphis is going to fall. And then the question is, you know, who's going to step up? And it could be any of those teams. And sleeper, I think Sacramento's out of it, but Sacramento has they've 9 wins and 4 losses in their last 13 games. And if they kept that up for another 10 games, all of a sudden they would be in the mix. So they're below all those teams you mentioned now, but we got to keep an eye at least on the Sacramento Kings because, you know, they're playing much better than people realize. And all of that has happened since Buddy Hield has gone to the bench.
Wrapping up with Wes Wilcox right now on CBS Sports Radio. Do you like the Leon Rose move with the Knicks whenever that becomes official?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Leon has a vast, you know, lifetime of experience around the world of basketball. You know, the job is different as a lead executive, of course, than it is being, you know, an agent. But he'll get help with the things he needs to get help with. There's plenty of people out there who, you know, who really understand back of house NBA front office work, who really understand what it is to build a scouting system and a scouting staff. And ultimately, it'll be about, you know, for Leon shaping a strategy for the franchise, communicating that to the fans and, you know, your organization, and then ultimately make decisions. I mean, if we want to talk about the highest level components of the GM job, those are them. And, you know, Leon will certainly be able to do those things. And for everything else, he'll certainly be able to hire a great staff that can do the work to get the decisions on his desk.
Wes, great stuff. Really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, Zach. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. There's Wes Wilcox. We'll take a timeout. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The latest on Damian Lillard is he's going to miss at least a couple more games with the groin injury. He's already been ruled out for Thursday's game up against Indiana. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, of course, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com easy. Really did enjoy our conversation with Wes Wilcox. And he brings up a lot of great points. Who knows when Damian Lillard's going to come back? Now, they're saying he's going to miss a couple more games. If you're a Trailblazers fan, though, that makes you very nervous because you never know what a couple can turn into. The Grizzlies, of course, now without Jaren Jackson, who's out weeks with a sprained knee. And you're looking at this race and you're seeing Ingram playing really well and you're seeing also Zion Williamson just take the league by storm with 11 out of his 13 games so far in his young NBA career being of games where he scored at least 20 points. So who's going to be that team that takes that eighth seed in the Western Conference? Memphis currently at 28-29, Portland at 26-33, and the Pelicans at 25-33. I still like Memphis. I do. And Jackson being out for weeks is not good. But you still got Ja Morant there. I just like the way that team's looking. But then yet again, they've lost three in a row. So who's going to limp to the finish line in that eighth seed spot between the Grizzlies, Trailblazers, and Pelicans? And when we had Ben Lieber on, right at 8:40 p.m. Eastern, 5:40 p.m. Pacific, he brought up 2 points that are great as well. How about this idea that he threw out there that the Washington Redskins maybe pass on Chase Young, have a new regime in our nation's capital, and they're going to possibly take, he threw this out there, that they may possibly take Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback at number two. That would really throw a wrench in these draft plans. Because right now, if you're Bob Quinn of the Detroit Lions, you're feeling pretty good that you're going to get a nice haul back when you trade that pick at number three for Tua Tagovailoa. You know, when you trade that pick and you move back and someone moves up to get Tua. If that doesn't happen, and if you are the Lions, you can still trade back, but do you pass up Chase Young? I would not if I'm Detroit. I would not pass up Chase Young. And then imagine if the Giants get Chase Young at four. If Chase Young falls to four, something has really gone wrong with this draft. Really gone wrong. Because you could not pass up on Chase Young if you're the Lions at number three. And if you trade back, someone's going to trade in to take Chase Young, and that would eliminate the Giants from being there. But maybe the Giants then trade up to try to land the services of Chase Young. D-Ben, you're all over these quarterbacks. How do you evaluate Dwayne Haskins?
Not a huge fan. I gave him a mid-first-round grade, which is, I'm pretty strict. So that's a pretty good grade, and that's where he went. And I already see it as a mistake. I was concerned about his ability to attack over top of defenses, overall arm, and then his movement. And you know what? He looks worse in the NFL than he even did in all those categories. I guess it makes sense than he even did in college. But he just looks, and Ben mentioned this too, he just looks like his speed is not correct for the NFL. And he really needs his speed to be up because he doesn't really have a scrambling game. He doesn't really have an out-of-pocket game. He needs to be a quick in-pocket, quick-reading quarterback. And he has to be able to shoot over the top of defenses, and I don't think it looks promising. I don't like writing anyone off after year one. The biggest example ever for me was Goff, who now is fluctuating again, but had a huge comeback after a dismal year one. Anyone can bounce back from year one, but I think there is a gigantic talent gap between Dwayne Haskins and Tua Tagovailoa.
If you think Tua is just a better quarterback, and that's the Redskins' decision, I think Tua is a better quarterback than Haskins, then you could go make that move. I just, with Haskins, who was he really playing with last year?
It's fair.
And is
it
really fair?
They fired the coach early in the season.
They fired the coach, but is it really fair when we evaluate him off not that many games in a terrible situation last year?
That's why I brought up Goff, because they fired Jeff Fisher in that season. The Rams were cratering in Goff's first year, and I thought Goff had higher talent to begin with and looked maybe worse as a rookie. So, again, he could come back. I don't want to write him off, but you have an opportunity here, especially because you just cleaned house. You have new leadership in the organization. You have an opportunity here to move forward with a better player. If that's really what they believe, I think that they'll pull the trigger and do it. And I think that could happen to any of those picks. That could happen for the Lions at three. It could. I don't think it's likely, but it could happen for the Giants at four, Zach. It could happen to any of those spots. Anybody who decides that they think this guy is...
You think Dave Gettleman's going to draft Tua?
I don't think he's going to, but I don't think
it's
impossible.
With the way that he got ripped for taking Jones at six... If that knucklehead, and I like Tua better than Daniel Jones, but if that knucklehead, after being so bold and claiming that they got a steal and they got the right pick at number six.
And picking a running back the year before, by the way. Yeah.
Well, that one I don't give. Saquon Barkley is a tremendous football player.
Right.
But if you're going to tell me, but I understand your point, you take Barkley. And
when
then,
there were quarterbacks.
And then
you reach for a quarterback.
And then you reach for a quarterback. And then you draft Tua?
It's
what?
Nuts, but would you put it past them? And also, Zach, they're talking about
yes,
Brady.
I don't think he would do
There's
that.
A rumor of them going
Who,
down
the Giants?
The Giants.
Yeah, because Zolak threw out Brady. Tom Brady's not going to the Giants.
I'm just saying the Giants are being aggressively open-minded right now. Joe Judge's entire message is that nobody has their job earned yet. Everybody has to earn
Daniel
it back.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is going to be the starter. That's a bunch of crap
if
what he's
had,
trying to put out
if they
there.
Had an opportunity to get Brady, they would take him, Zach. They would take him, they would put in Brady, and they'd make Jones sit for a year. You doubt this?
They're not getting why Brady's kryptonite is the Giants. He's going to go to the Giants.
I don't think he's playing for the Giants. I'm just saying where the Giants' minds are at.
I'd puke.
I wouldn't put it past any of them. And then, of course, those picks, the Lions and the Giants and even the Redskins, could all get traded for any team desperate enough to come up. It could be the Chargers. It could be the Panthers. It could be the Raiders. You've named them all. It could be the Colts. There's a bunch of teams that could offer a ton to come up for Tua. I don't think he makes it to the Dolphins at five. Something's going to happen before five is basically the point I'm trying to make.
Let me hear from Dave Gettleman because he did speak at the Combine. This is Dave Gettleman talking about his formula for success.
I told you guys the day I walked in the door, offense scores points, defense wins championships. That's the way it is. In the six, from what I'm told, in the six Super Bowl games where it was the number one offense against the number one defense, the number one defense is 5-1. And I was on the wrong end of that stick in 15.
Isn't it amazing how much he talks about defense winning championships and you look at some of the moves that he's made? Now, there's been this big defensive player that they brought in that's had this ample amount of success.
Ogletree, and they, well, he hasn't had a lot of success, but he was a big defensive player.
He's
they cut
today.
Him today. He was the captain
they
of the
traded,
defense.
Traded picks to get him.
Yeah, they did.
Yikes.
I just... If by that formula, then they would have taken Josh Allen instead of going with Daniel Jones. By that formula. But then you also need a quarterback to win in this league as well. Can I also hear from Mike McCarthy? This is Mike McCarthy talking about Dak Prescott earlier today because, you know, with the Cowboys, they keep on saying, oh, we love Dak, we love Dak, we love Dak, but Dak still doesn't have a future contract.
You know, number one, you just look what he's done in his time in the league. I mean, I think he's been impressive. I know I've been impressed with him since the first time I saw him play live. You know, in up in Green Bay when they came to Lambeau there. So you know, first impressions I think are very important when you see quarterbacks on the field because it you know in person evaluations, particularly at that position, I've always carried more weight. As far as how I felt about a player. So I think he's gone off to a great start. He's built a really good foundation. I'm told he's a tremendous leader. So in my philosophy, as we get with, you know, the personnel department and as we go through that, I mean, defenses get you to the championship. The quarterbacks win championships. And I definitely feel Dak is that quarterback.
That's amazing. Hold on. Defense get you to the championships. But the quarterback wins the championship. D-Ben, one more time. Dave Gettleman, please.
I told you guys the day I walked in the door. Offense scores points. Defense wins championships. That's the way it is.
So the Cowboys and the Giants, we know they don't like each other. Two totally different things. But for the Cowboys, that's more praise for Dak and still no long-term contract. Yikes. And also Lieber, since we didn't bring this up, since having Wilcox on, Lieber said no, he does not believe that the Vikings will have Stephon Diggs next year. And Diggs is clearly PO'd with the Minnesota Vikings. Some of it is some petulant behavior with the social media stuff and slamming his helmet down in a playoff game that they were winning. I think he wants out in the worst way. So if you're a team that needs a wide receiver, I would go out there. And even though Diggs could be petulant at times, he is a good football player. Not a great football player, but a good football player. I would want him on my team. Me being, Zach Gelb, a Patriot fan, I'd be okay if they went out there and tried to acquire the services of Stephon Diggs, but it comes at a price tag that, he got a contract, but you could find a way to manage it for a player of Stephon Diggs' caliber. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come on back, wrap things up with the closing bell, and we'll also get to the poll results, and hopefully I'll remember to say them tonight in that final segment, because yesterday I said we'll get to the poll results, and I never did so.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick.
From the Backstreet Boys. And you're listening to The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back again.
It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Poll question update time. I'll give you the one from yesterday since I forgot to do it yesterday. I did that whole big tease. Oh, when we come back, I'll tell you about the poll results, and I forgot to do so. If all are healthy, who is the best player in the NBA? Yesterday results, LeBron James, 42%, 30% say Giannis Antetokounmpo, 16% say Kawhi Leonard, and 12% say Kevin Durant. Today's poll question was, who would you want as your starting quarterback for this upcoming season? 44.8% say Big Ben, 33.7% say Cam Newton, and then 21.5% say Jameis Winston. I also want to bring up one thing. When I was doing the weekend overnights for almost 2 years here at CBS Sports Radio, there was a caller, Mike from Westchester, who was very loyal, very passionate, and very entertaining with smart takes. And he was a caller I really did enjoy. I know Ben Horowitz and James Graceffo used to work with me, really did enjoy him as well. And he was so loyal. I'd do shows on The Fan, and Mike from Westchester would call it. I would do shows on WIP in Philadelphia, Mike in Westchester would call, and I got some sad news over the weekend, and I wanted to share it now once we were able to confirm it. Mike in Westchester, if you listen to the weekend overnight edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, Mike was a staple, unfortunately did pass away recently. So I just wanted to take some time to remember Mike and also send my condolences and thoughts and prayers to his family during a very difficult time, as Mike J. Failey did pass away at the age of 53. So my condolences, and I just wanted to bring up Mike in Westchester because his tweets, his calls, he was as loyal of as a listener from a talk show host perspective that you could ever ask. And, it puts it in perspective. When you do this job, we have a very powerful job where you get to connect and interact with many people on a weekly basis, a daily basis, a monthly basis, whatever it is. And you kind of start to feel as if they're an extension of your family. So some somber news, of course, when I did find out that Mike passed away at the age of 53, and we'll definitely miss you. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, I always love Coby White for this reason on draft night.
Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio, WFAN. Cameron Johnson just went 11th. How do you react to that news?
He went what?
11th.
Cam Johnson, the draft. 11th.
Yep, it's right on the screen right there.
Wow. Wow. Wow, bro. That's crazy. That's so love, bro. Because if y'all know Cam, you don't know how hard Cam worked. And it's a lot of people that doubt him. But, wow, that's crazy, bro. Wow, that's so crazy. I'm so happy for him right now. Y'all don't understand how happy I am for Cam. Because like, he proved it night in, night out that he deserves to be, you know, in the conversation for a lottery pick, man. He shot the ball like anyone I've never seen before in my life or played with. So I'm so – wow, bro. That's – I'm getting chills up here.
That viral moment almost didn't happen. It was, I think, the last question or second to last question that I asked to Coby White when he was on the podium after he got drafted by the Bulls. And I looked to the right, and they just put it up on the screen that Cam Johnson got drafted, and I quickly just blurted out the question, and you get the wow, wow, wow moment. Well, Coby White is making us say, wow, 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 because his last three games, 33 points versus Phoenix, 33 against Washington, and then 35 against OKC. So a stock up to Coby White. Also a stock up to the Kansas basketball program, number one in the nation. They've won 13 games in a row. They finish up their season with Kansas State, big-time rematch, TCU, and Texas Tech. By the way, Chris Beard did join us early in the show. If you missed any of that conversation or any of our segments, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, follow us, and you can find the link in my bio to find all of our previous segments of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. But Kansas is really rolling. Stock up to them. Mikey B?
All right, stock up to the Greek Freak. The Milwaukee Bucks typically do this WWE-style pregame where they pretend to beat each other up in the hallways, and they have a WWE championship belt. Drake came out in the last game. Bucks-Raptors had two belts, so Giannis was asked about that and pretty much said, I don't really care about this guy. I'm here to win games. So I love the shade that Giannis threw it at Drake. Stock up to the Greek Freak. And then stock up to Robert Covington of the Houston Rockets. He's had 11 blocks in his last three games. He actually has three blocks right now in the game going on as they are crushing the Grizzlies. He's playing so well defensively in this small ball. The Rockets, he's been drug tested by the NBA because of how well he's played defensively. So Robert Covington becoming a block mecca for the Rockets. Stock up.
Play well, then drug test players. That's the motto.
All right, stock up to Combine Silly Season with the rumors. We've heard all kinds of stuff today. I have the clip. Unfortunately, we don't have time for it. But the craziest one of all, Brady Quinn suggesting on CBS Sports HQ that Tom Brady's landing spot could maybe be the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, stop it.
But plenty of crazy rumors today, including the fact that the Giants might also be in play for Brady. It's
stupid.
The season for it. The workouts on field actually begin tomorrow, and I can't wait. But stock up to crazy rumors at the Combine. And stock up to Russell Westbrook. This is someone who everyone kind of doubted. His move to Houston, basically everyone was out on Russell Westbrook. He's having a great season. They're on fire. They're winning again tonight. They're cruising tonight. He's on fire again tonight. They've won 8 of 10. He has the best field goal percentage of his career. Stock up to Russ.
Checks and balances time. Too much praise to the Houston Rockets. Tillman Fertitta, their owner, big time stock down. He said, our chances are as good as they've ever been to win a championship. And he also admitted that they fear Golden State and they don't fear the Lakers and the Clippers or Denver. You should fear nobody. You're an NBA team. You were very successful. And your chances are not better because in 2018, you were up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals and you blew it. So stock down to Tillman Fertitta. And also stock down to spring training. I don't care what players do in spring training. People get all excited. This player hit a home run. Oh, this player allowed four runs in an inning. Stop it. No one cares at this point.
You idiot. Get back in there at once and sell.
All right, stock down to Carmelo Anthony. Came in on
Carmelo Anthony.
Wearing a hat that was split Mets and Yankees. Wear a Mets hat, wear a Yankees hat. Don't wear a Mets Yankees hat. Stock down
Pick
to Melo. Pick one.
Sell!
And then stock down to me for ripping the Wizards yesterday. Then they went out today and played well, defeated my team that I actually care about in the Nets. A guy named Jerome Robinson hit a three that was wide open and broke my heart. Stock down to Mike Biseglia.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
Okay, stock down to Globe Life Field, the new ballpark of the Texas Rangers. They released a picture of their field today, and I didn't realize it's artificial turf. The Rangers' new baseball stadium has an artificial turf field with a retractable roof. I don't understand why. And stock down to the 1,300 people who filed FCC complaints against the Super Bowl halftime show.
Get
that is
life.
The final number. There were 94 last year for Adam Levine.
What was the ridiculous excuse? That it hurt their eyes or something?
Yeah, molestation of the eyeballs, apparently. So sell that garbage.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell, sell.
Sometimes I try to help people. If you're really that upset about a Super Bowl halftime show, get a life. There was nothing offensive about that halftime show. And if you really had a problem, you think your kids shouldn't be seeing that, please. They've seen worse things on television, and they probably text their friends worse things on their phones. If you really don't like it, you really think it's a bigger problem, be a parent and tell them what you don't like about it. I see nothing wrong with that halftime show. Absolutely nothing wrong. I actually think you're a fool if you see anything wrong with that halftime show. Fun show today. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'd like to thank Chris Beard for joining us. Also, Ben Lieber and Wes Wilcox. We'll be back tomorrow. Jared Greenberg from NBA TV is going to join us. And also the Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. A lot about quarterbacks going on. We'll get some answers from one of our favorite quarterbacks in Kurt Warner. That's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. And once again, rest in peace, Mike in Westchester. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.